Hi, friendologists. How y'all doing? Hard following that up, huh? So, friendologists, it's been a fun series. It's a shame it's coming to a close, but you know what I love this time of year? I love this time of year called summer. It's hard to imagine if we're only 9 days into it. Anybody who works outside knows that summer's actually been going on for like 3 months already, but it's hot, but I love it. I'm one of them weird guys that loves heat. I love being outside in this. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I love the heat. My favorite time of year. But you know why this is my favorite time of year? Get-togethers, right? So you have Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and holidays, and we have a lot of get-togethers, a lot of dinners, a lot of time we spend time with each other, right? Through meals or whatever it looks like. And then there's like 5 months where there's not much going on, 6 months, and then summer hits. And I love summer because we start doing a lot of things together again. The weather brings it out. I got some teachers here. They're like enjoying a well-deserved break. So all you teachers, like, whew, nice, right? A little break from the action. But summer brings about a lot of fun things. And I don't know what your summers look like. But there's a lot of things we love to do to get together with each other. But maybe it looks like this. Backyard barbecues, right? Who doesn't love those? Hanging by the pool, cooking, hanging with each other, just catching up on life with each other. With other people, family, friends. Maybe your summers look like this. Trip to an amusement park, right? Disney or Universal or something, but you do it with other people. Doesn't look like they're having fun? A lot of smiles. Life is better enjoyed with other people, isn't it? I love to tell stories about the times I had with you guys and the friends I've made during a lot of these things. How about this? Maybe your summer is like, just unwind, grab some friends, grab some family, and just go sit on the beach. Get away from it all, right? Sit and watch God's nature, the waves rolling in, or the white sand, or pelicans, and with seagulls pooping on you, or whatever that looks like here in Florida. Here's our favorite. We love to go on cruises. Lots of things. One, you wake up in a new country every day, and what's not to love about that? Tons of great food, but my favorite thing about cruising is this. You say goodbye to this guy for a week, and you leave it over here, and you lock in the safe because you can't afford to use it. Roaming charger too much. But you kind of just disconnect from all the information and the things that drag your attention away from friends and family and each other. And we've cruised with some of y'all, and it's just fun to do that. We just bond, and we get to know each other. But all these things have something in common. They're more fun with each other, right? Friends. Friends become family. I mean, how many times you make a new friend, and when they come to your house, you're like, hey, your family here. Help yourself to the fridge or whatever. It's how we do things. This is 4th of July week, so anybody here doing fireworks with somebody else? Any of y'all going to hang with somebody else and get together and do fireworks, barbecues, whatever, with somebody else? It's more fun that way, right? Reminds me of a time in our neighborhood, we like to just watch fireworks on our front lawn because apparently all my neighbors think the right thing to do for 4th of July is spend thousands of dollars on fireworks. And we let them. We don't mind that. But one year, we wanted to watch fireworks as a family on the beach. We had never done that. And so we did a little homework, and we found out that Fort Myers Beach was doing a fireworks display. And so we saved up some money and rented a room down there, and it got dark, and we were getting ready to have the extravaganza, right? And we get out on the beach and find our spot, and all of a sudden, because it's Florida, a torrential rainstorm comes through. Thunderstorms, and it was just crazy, and like 600 people are hiding under this one pavilion. So close, we were all touching each other to stay out of the storm. But typical of Florida, the storm passes by and it moves north up the coast, and we all came back outside, and here come the fireworks display. But I'll never forget this day because in the background, the storm was leaving us, and there's lightning going all around behind the fireworks. It was like God showing off, right? It was the best fireworks we ever watched. I mean, with the fireworks in the front, lightning in the back, it was just super fun to watch, and I'll never forget that day. But I will never forget it because I was with my family. I was with other people, and we watched that together, and we talk about it. I'm not sure this is a good idea. Shooting fireworks from your hand is probably not. Don't be these friends. This is not a good idea. More importantly, they should have had better friends like you guys to say, no, don't do that. That's bad. Anyway, lesson for the day is don't shoot fireworks from your hand. So, catch you up on this series. We've been through 8 weeks of friendology, how to be a friend, right? We learned some characteristics and some ideas on how to be a good friend. But I don't want you guys to think because this is the end of this series that it stops here. Talk about that in a minute, but we learn how to be loving in our friendships, right? God said, love me with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love others as yourself. It starts with an attitude of love. And we talked about compassionate friendship. I bet you there's some people in this room who are friends with somebody now because you were shown compassion to by them, or you showed compassion to somebody. We see it all the time. There's a need. Something happens, and somebody reaches out because they're compassionate and loving to them, and bonds form, and you're friends because of that. And we've got healthy relationships. Joe talked about being around people who are healthy for you, that encourage you, that are not trying to get you, but are there to support you, right? Remember, stupid rubs off, kids, right? Authentic friendships. So some of y'all in this room know more about me than most people in the world, and I you, and as I love the fact that we can be real and transparent with each other. That's how we grow. And faithful and available friendships. So Chris talked about this story in Job, where Job loses his health and his wealth and his kids, and he's at the end of the rope, and he's sitting there, and he has four good friends from around the world that leave everything and decide to come meet and just be with Job. And they sat with him for 7 days, great friends, until they opened their mouth and started to give him bad advice. I heard a story just this week where tragedy struck in a home, and a phone call was made in the middle of the night, and family showed up just to be with somebody. That are the friendships we have around here, just being there for people. I love the friends we've got in this room. Diverse friendships. Joe talked about being friends with people who aren't like you so that they build you up and make you better. And I look around this room and I see a diverse room. And I'm so proud of the friends that I have that don't look like me. Or they don't act like me or vote like me or talk like me. They're just different, and I'm so glad. I'm so much better a person because I'm around people who aren't exactly like me. I don't even know if there's anybody exactly like me. Bold friendships. So you remember Eli talked a couple weeks ago about how he had a barbecue in his front lawn? I mean, who does that, right? Bold people do. People could pass by and just grab a burger, a hot dog, and just hang and talk and catch up because life is better with other people. Great lesson I learned from that. We talked last week about our very best friend, Jesus, the one who will never leave you, the one that's always going to be with you, the one that goes through life with you. And so as we look at all these characteristics, all these thoughts on friendship, I want you to start thinking of all these things as we lead this series in a new way called Forever Friendship. The friends we're making today, the people that you are introducing to Jesus will be friends with you forever. It doesn't stop here. We will walk into eternity as eternal friends together, maybe at different times, but we make friendships not just for here, but for eternity. So when you think of compassion and love and bold friendships and authentic, this is so that we get to do this forever. And before we get to this John 14 passage, I want to kind of paint a picture out of John 11. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I'll have the words on the screen. But I think sometimes I want to jump off of what Joe talked about last week about Jesus being our best friend, because I think sometimes we assume that Jesus came and he taught and he performed miracles and he healed and he went to the cross for us and he returned to heaven and he no longer is with us. Sometimes I think we assume that God doesn't know our feelings, or he's far away and he just doesn't get what we go through. And I want to show you in Scripture where that's incorrect. Well, that's unfactual. In John chapter 11, there's a story of Jesus, and he's going to raise a man from the dead named Lazarus. So, spoiler alert, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. But let's look what leads up to this story. So if you have your Bibles, the words will be on the screen as well. It says that a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. By the way, this Mary whose brother lay sick was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. Guys, any of you guys here buy your wife perfume? Is it something like your wife's like? Yeah, how expensive is that, right? When me and my wife first got married, that was her thing. She liked perfume, and so I would go down to try to buy her some perfume, and I would find the kind she likes, and I'd pick it up and say, this is the one. And I'd look on the bottom, and wow, $65. Where's the smaller bottle of that, right? I mean, perfume is expensive. It's not a necessity, and it wasn't back then either. It was expensive, and so she was willing to take perfume and wash Jesus' feet and wipe it with her hair. Do you think they've met? Do you think they're friends? Do you think you don't do this for strangers, right? She had a fondness for Jesus. They were friends. They lived life together. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick, the one you love. Now, we know Jesus is love and he loves all, but there is obviously a bond here. They know that Jesus knows Lazarus well. They are friends. So, verse 4 says, when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. So, sometimes I think we assume life happens to us and we're in trouble and God's not there. You ever felt like your prayers are not being answered? Where is God? Where is he showing up? And sometimes I think God wants to get us through something and not out of something, because there's a lesson on the other side that's for our best good. It's so that he can be glorified, so that other people can know our stories. And so there's some back and forth. Jesus, upon hearing this, waits 2 more days before he heads over to see Lazarus. That's because God has a big story at the end of this that's for everybody's better. Let's read on. Let's skip down to verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus has already been in the tomb for 4 days. So they must have been about a 2-day walk away from Bethany, right? He waits 2 days, they walk there. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. Stop here for a second. So, word gets around. When you're 2 miles away from Jerusalem, a big city, and word gets around there's a loss, people come around to comfort. Sounds like good friendships, right? But I can assure you, along with those people are the same people who just tried to stone Jesus in Jerusalem not long before, and so they're coming to see too. So you're going to have some people who do not like Jesus at this event. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Do you think she's got some faith here? I know I don't know what took you so long to get here, but I know even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus says, your brother will rise again. Now listen to this. This is neat here. Martha answered, I know he will rise again at the resurrection at the last day. First off, you guys ever consider the fact that there will be a last day? That there'll be a time in history where there's no more sunset and sunrise as we know it. There'll be no more time we'll be bound by it. There will be no more days. God will be the light of the world. And Martha, I see her starting to get it. If you guys remember not too long ago, Martha had a party at her house. But Mary came and Jesus came. And if you remember, Jesus was sitting there and Mary went over and was talking to Jesus, right? And Martha's in the background doing all the prep work, doing all the work, cooking and cleaning and getting everything ready. And she says, teacher, rabbi, make her get up and do something, right? And Jesus says, she's picked the better thing. I'm only here for a little while. And sometimes I get thinking, don't we do this? Don't we wake up in the morning and our feet hit the ground because we got things to do, chores to do? I don't have time for God. I can't introduce him to this because I just got stuff to do. Instead of stopping, spend some time with the Creator, with the Maker, the one who loves you, wants to be your friend forever. I guarantee you the chores will be there when you get done. In fact, you'd be probably better equipped to handle them when you are tight with your Maker. And this same Mary now makes a comment of, I'm getting it. This is an eternal comment. She says, I know he will rise again at the last day. She spent 3 years with Jesus now. Jesus talks a lot of eternal things, and even the disciples didn't get this a lot of times. But she got it. I understand eternity is bigger than this. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Let me ask you, do you believe this? What is the life? Is life this thing that happens here? Is life because my parents decided to have a child? Or maybe I was a whoopsie baby or whatever, but either way, I'm here. And I learn to walk and talk a little bit, and then maybe I go to school and I learn some stuff and I bully some kids, get bullied by some kids, go off into the workplace and get a job and spend most of your life working for someone else. Let's face it, business owners, you know if you have a business, you still work for your customers. And somewhere along the lines, your body stops getting better and it starts getting worse. Joints start to ache. You start to fail a little bit. Things start growing around here that didn't used to be there. Vision starts to fail. Maybe your hearing goes. Tragedy strikes. You have some diseases. Some things happen. And you get older, and then your body stops reacting anymore, and it dies. And I'm expected to believe that was life. Are you to tell me that was what our purpose was? I can't even make my mind believe that. I can't even get around the fact that my sole purpose was here to be a good guy and maybe teach my kids how to be good people as defined by me. Because if you go by our culture, the bar is being lowered every year, isn't it? What is good is no longer what it once was. And so am I to believe that life was just made up of this time where my body went and gone? Man, I don't believe that. I can't get around that. I believe we were made to be eternal friends. We were made to step into eternity forever. Have you guys thought about that? To be compassionate and loving and bold and authentic forever. And I love this about Jesus. Do you believe that he is the resurrection and the life? And life is not this thing that lasts for only a moment. James says this life is a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. The other day, Steph and I were cooking some noodles on the stove, and it got to a boiling point, and I thought, oh, this is interesting. I tried to grab the vapor, and you know what was in my hands? Nothing, not even moisture. Our life lasts that fast, but we try to hold on to this one so hard. I wanted to be left empty. But Jesus is the life, the one that will last forever. Let's move on in this story. Yes, Lord, Martha replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who has come into the world. Peter makes a similar statement when Jesus asks him, when he says, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. This is why we say those things, and three people gave their life to Jesus between services and said these words, I believe in you. You are the resurrection and the life. You are it. And after she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. And the teacher is here, she said, and he's asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Let me ask you a question. If you don't know who Jesus is, I can assure you, he's asking for you by name. The teacher is here asking for you by name. How do you respond? Like Mary? Get up quickly, go. He wants to live with you forever. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. This is the second time he's heard this. When he saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along also with her weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Let me ask you a question. Anybody ever been deeply moved and troubled? Deeply moved does not mean, oh, I have some concern for this, or it's bothering me. Deeply moved means everything else stops, doesn't it? When a child goes to the hospital and something bad happens, you're deeply moved, it means mortgages don't matter and bills don't matter and the problems of this world and the squabbles you have don't matter. I am deeply moved and troubled about something. You tell me this Jesus doesn't understand our feelings? You tell me we go through life alone? To me, this is proof that there's not a step we take that Jesus isn't right alongside of us and understands what we go through and loves us right where we're at. And Jesus knows already he's raising Lazarus from the dead, right? But yet he stops and he's deeply moved and he says, where have you laid him? Now listen to this. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. This is not, oh, I'm sad, or a tear runs down his eye. This is Jesus weeping with people. This is, I don't know what it looks like, but he probably gathered them around, he put his arms around them, and together they wept. And he already knows he's raising Lazarus from the dead, but he stops and sees the hurt and the pain as people are going through. He says, I love you so much, and he's troubled in spirit, and he weeps. Can I tell you, you do not go through this life alone. When you cheer, Jesus cheers with you. When you are having great times happen in your life, he's there for you. When you are excited, he's excited. And when you're troubled in spirit, he's right there troubled in spirit with you. And when you weep, Jesus weeps with you. You do nothing alone. You serve a Savior that's been there. He's already in your tomorrow, and he loves you through it, not necessarily always out of it. This is our God we serve. This is my second favorite story in the Bible, after the resurrection of Jesus, wrapped around the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Huge story. Then the Jews said, see how he loved them? It was apparent. They couldn't even deny the fact that Jesus loved these people. And y'all do this. I see this here. I see when there is trouble and you guys pray together. Not that I want to see you in pain, but I love to watch when you guys rally around each other and you're compassionate for each other. And you're real and authentic with each other. And you're available to be there with each other. This is going to last forever, minus the pain. Verse 37 says, but some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? So I love Jesus' response to this. But you're going to have your naysayers, right? Anytime there's something good, you're going to have those that doubt, those that it wasn't perfect enough. Oh, but you can't do this. Look at Jesus' response. There isn't one. Jesus, once more deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a solid stone laid across the entrance. He says, take this stone away. He doesn't have time for the naysayers. When you are at work for the kingdom, you're going to have naysayers. You're going to have the people that challenge you. And I love Jesus' response. I don't have time for that. I am deeply moved. I am involved in people's lives here. I love these people. I don't have time for the nonsense. I think sometimes we need to take this example. Sometimes things happen, we feel the need to justify ourselves or to set the record straight. And I love when Jesus is on task, he can't even be bothered with noise from the background. Second time, he's deeply moved for what he sees. But Lord, Martha said, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Do you believe that? Yes. The glory of God will last for eternity. We were meant to be friends forever, family, eternal beings. We were meant to be with God. And if you just believe, you will see that glory. So they took the stone away. Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing there, that they may believe you sent me. God hears your prayer, no matter what it looks like. God understands the situation you're in. He's trying to get you through it. And he loves you enough to cheer for you when you cheer and weep when you weep. He gets it. He knows you better than you do. I love when somebody asks me, hey, you know, how should I pray? My answer is, say whatever you want. You're talking to your friend that wants to be with you forever. He's Lord and Savior, worthy of respect, but he just wants to be with you and feel things with you and go through life with you. And he's there whether you know it or not. And does this story prove that? He stopped and weeps with people because they're troubled and moved in spirit. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and his cloth around his face. Jesus said, take the grave clothes off and let him go. When I studied that this week, I thought, man, what a great picture of baptism. When you surrender your life to Christ, you leave a dead person in there that is no longer alive. And when you come up out of that grave, Jesus says, take the grave clothes off and let him go. He's free. He's with me now. We're friends forever. Love that story. And I don't know what heaven looks like. I mean, Scripture talks very little about what it looks like. But I know that I want to be there because my best friend Jesus is there because he's proven to be worthy of my friendship. And more importantly, worthy to be my Lord. But what does heaven look like? Jesus talks a little bit about this right before he goes to the cross. And so here's where we get to John chapter 14, if you want to skip over a couple pages. But he makes a comment, and oftentimes Jesus talks in their lingo. You've got to remember, this is years ago. And so he says things and uses talk and parables in ways that they would understand. When he talks about being a sheep to the shepherd, like we don't know a lot about what that means, right? Shepherding's not a big business, at least not wiki-watchy. But he uses that story, doesn't he? And so now he uses another one that I find interesting. See, they've just had the Last Supper, and Jesus is getting ready to teach them one more story. He's going to pray for himself. He's going to pray for his disciples, and then he's going to pray for us, and then he's going to go to the cross. But he paints a beautiful picture, and let me help see if I can paint this story before we get into the scripture. So how early Jewish life went is you had a house, and a house wrapped around a courtyard, and it was called an insula. And so how that worked is as a man would have children, they would add more rooms to it. But how this worked was this. So a man is a son, let's say, and he gets of age to marry. And what he would do is through word of mouth or friendship or whatever, he would hear about a man who had a daughter. And so they would communicate, agree to meet. And so the father and his son would go to the place where the father and the daughter lived. And I don't know how many people came or if the wives came, but, or if they watched the boy and the girl talk to see if maybe they're compatible. But at some point, they would agree on a price for the bride. Sorry, ladies, that's how it worked back then. The bride was purchased. And when they agreed on that price, they would have a glass of wine as the covenant agreement. And then the young man would say to his future bride, I'm going to go to my father's house and prepare a place for you. And when I'm done, I will come back and get you. And he would. And he would go to the father's house and it would add another wing onto the house. And it would wrap around this neat courtyard. This word insula, by the way, is literally means like household, which means an extended family living together. And so they would add the room on. The problem with this situation was the bride-to-be never knew how long it would be. 6 months, a year, 2 years. She had to just be ready. And so when the groom-to-be would go and he'd finish the house, he'd go back and get her, and he would come back and they would have a wedding and they would party for 7 days. I think we should do more of that. Let's party for 7 days after every wedding. But that's how it worked. And when Jesus makes this comment sitting at the table with his guys, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, so they know what he's talking about here. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me where I am, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. He later says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life eternal. This is a neat story, and they got it, but sometimes we read over this, not understanding the full picture, but Jesus is going right now, and he's making your bedroom. How does that sound? And it's beautiful. And I love the idea of maybe sitting around all day in a courtyard, just listening to God. In these courtyards, this is where scripture was taught. This is where they played and worked and had fun, and they spent all their days in this courtyard. And I can just picture heaven being in a courtyard with God all day. I just can picture that time being with my friends, you guys. Just living life, my forever eternal friendships that I've made here with God. That sounds like fun to me. And let me ask you a question on this. Who do you know in your life right now that needs your friendship, that needs you to go out and be bold and be authentic with them, be loving and compassionate? Better yet, this person, fill in the blank there, who do you know that needs to know Jesus' eternal friendship? Has this been a fun morning in our small insula? Who do you know would benefit from just this culture of loving each other, being around each other? Man, I don't know about you, but I know some people that I've got to fill these blanks in, and I've got to start this week with the characteristics I've learned over this 8-week series, now 9. Because I know there's people that would benefit not just here, but because we're going to do this forever. And Jesus has proven that he's not just a guy that came here on earth and did some things. He lives life with me, and it's called his Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask the praise band to come back up. We're going to close in a song. But I'm going to pray for us, but I want to do it differently. I want to do this like we've not done in a while. I want to pray with each other as a unified family. So I want you guys to stand up if you don't mind, and I want you to slide to the center. Outer rows, come to the center. If you're in a balcony, try to find somebody close. I want to pray holding hands. And if you're sick or you're not a hand person, just lock arms or hold on to somebody outside of you. But I want to do this together. I want to talk to Jesus about eternity with each other. And we're done praying, stay like this and we'll sing the song together, but let's do this unified as a family. Father, I know you hear my voice, I know you love me, and you are the great teacher, and you're calling our names, and God, may we answer that call today. I love you for this day. I love you for my friends. All the things in this world are great, but they're greater done with each other. I don't know what eternity looks like, God, but I know Jesus is there, and that's all that matters, and he's earned the right to hear this prayer. Father, we come to you as one family, a forever family, God, and if there's somebody here that doesn't know that great feeling yet, may they be stirred by your spirit, come to the front. Let's talk about this. Or if coming to the front's not their thing, maybe just squeeze the hand of the person next to them. And after this song and prayer, God, we will lift it up to you. We just have a simple conversation about eternal friendship. I love you, God. I thank you for once again for this beautiful day that's been given to us by you. We're going to sing to you one more time, God, because you're worthy to be praised. You are the resurrection and the life, eternal life, not this one that lasts a vapor here. Thank you for my family here, God. I love you for them, and I love you for Jesus. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Amen. Y'all don't be in a rush to leave. Let's sing this song together. It's been a fun series. I love every one of you, and I pray that you take some of these things and use them to make friends forever. Yeah,